Hey everybody, the Air Raid Podcast is now sponsored by the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. They're one of the fastest growing microbreweries in the Northwest, featuring the extremely talented brewmaster Skip Madsen. His breakaway IPA has become their number one bestseller. Stop by and find out why. You will not be disappointed. American Brewing Company, drink domestic, buy American.
The waves are crashing up against the seawall. It's developing this foam that is riding over the top and starting to stick to all the hotels and buildings right along the boardwalk here. Excuse me, it's in my face as well, as you can imagine. It doesn't taste great.
You know why it doesn't taste great? Because it's poo foam. It's poo. Oh, well, hello and welcome everyone to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 62.
Woo!
In what has now become a long and drawn out series.
I'm not joking around here.
Oh, I'm your host, Aaron Rogan.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
And of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Oh, man. I kind of messed that one up. Let's try it again. Where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Oh, that was better. That was way better. So we got a couple of emails saying that our levels have been kind of messed up. So what I'm doing this time is I'm trying something different, and I'm turning things up a notch. So this goes out to you, Nick Stamper. I hope it's not too loud now. But yeah, you know, it's a work in progress, always, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Because you're ugly and retarded.
Yes, and it might be because I'm ugly and retarded. That is both, I am both things. Oh, man, we have got a great show planned for you this week. And this show, of course, you may have noticed that this show is going up on Friday, where we usually go up on Sunday. I'm mixing things up a little bit. And one of the reasons is because we are headed to the great state of Alabama, here in these United States, to go see Mairead's family. Her grandma is turning 90 years old, so we are we're taking our first plane trip, our first flight with baby in tow, and I'll be sure to keep you updated on how that goes. And of course, to keep updated on this show, you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is AirRaidNet, or you can check out our Facebook page at air-raid.net. Just search for us up in the little search bar there on Facebook. And we are closing in on 300 Facebook friends, which is amazing. It's great. Probably only about 5 of them listen to the show. We want to dominate the podcast landscape. That's the goal, right? That's the goal of anything in life. You want to dominate whatever you're doing. So go and like us on Facebook. Also, you can give us a iTunes review or a star rating. We'd like to get to our goal there is to get to 100 star ratings and 50 reviews. We're at 31 reviews right now and 32 star ratings. So thank you to all who have done that. And we are going to be in the process of getting some swag. I learned that from the Grapes of Rad podcast. It's swag, not schwag. So we may be looking into getting some swag soon. So maybe some t-shirts and mugs and bumper stickers and things like that. So yeah, we'll make sure to keep you posted on that one as well. So yeah, going to Alabama. I am super nervous. I do not like to be the center of attention when I do not bring it on myself. So what I'm worried about is that my child, little Tatum, will start screaming on the plane, and we won't be able to stop, and then I'll be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I don't. So part of my plan is that at work we have a big thing of earplugs. I am going to grab a shit load of earplugs and bring those with me on the plane, so I can just divvy those out to people who are sitting near us. So hopefully that'll take care of that. I have heard that if you give like something to the baby to suck on during takeoff and landing, then she should be fine, because you know that helps pop your ear holes. So hopefully that'll work. But the other thing I'm really concerned about is, you've heard me talk before about my core temperature on this show, and it is really hot over in Alabama. I don't know if you've heard, but it gets hot in the South, and it gets very humid. And God, the last time we were, we took a trip to Mexico last year. We went to Isla Mujeres, which is a great place, and I would really, really urge any of you who have the chance to make it down there, because it is just beautiful. It's good. The island is just totally cut off from the mainland, and it's just a great place to go and spend a week, you know. But anyway, so we go down there, and when we're taken off, we have to catch a ferry boat back to the mainland, and I have a long shirt on, and I think I may have been wearing pants, which was my own damn fault, but I had never seen myself sweat that much before. I was wiping sweat off of my arm and then watching it pop back up through my pores. Like, it was that quick, you know, and that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen to me in Alabama, and I'm probably going to be miserable. That's why I live in Washington, because it rains a lot, and I love to stay inside. That's why I live here, because it's cold, and I'm a hermit, and possibly agoraphobic, and a reverse hoarder. There you go. Those are my issues. So anyway, we've got a great show for you today. The Lonely Forest is going to be joining us here shortly. I had the pleasure, after my brother's wedding reception, to go and meet these guys in their hometown of Anacortes at this place called the Brown Lantern Tavern. And they bought me a ton of drinks, because they had this band tab at this tavern. Because, of course, they're just, you know, local heroes. Had a great conversation with them. The audio is, you know, we recorded it in a busy bar, so there's going to be some background noise and stuff, but it's super interesting hearing these guys, because they're young and they are doing very well for themselves. They just made their national television debut on Jimmy Kimmel. I think it was a couple weeks ago. It's pretty cool hearing what they have to say about it. Like, just how they feel about what is going on in their lives now. And like I said, they're a little bit younger. I think they range in age from like 24 to 28 or something like that. So not too much younger, but still, man. I mean, you know, being in a band and making it that far, like to the point where you're being featured on like a night show, you know, like a nightly variety show. I mean, that's killer. That is amazing. That's an amazing thing to do, an amazing thing to go through. And their music is really good. So we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I wanted to talk about, this is probably old news for everybody. The cut that we played at the beginning of the show was this reporter. What is his name? Oh, crap. See, this is, I'm totally not ready again. I mean, this never, it's like Tucker, his name's like Tucker something. And this guy, to get the story, he goes down to the pier and to cover the Hurricane Irene. He goes down to a pier, and all this foam is coming over the side of the pier. And it probably smells really bad. It's getting in his, you know, he's just covered in it. I'm looking at the still of the video right now. He's just totally covered in it. And he gets some in his mouth, of course. Tells everybody that it has about a sandy consistency, and it really smells bad. Well, you know why it smells bad? Because it was raw sewage, dude. It was raw sewage. It was the waves churning up this sewage line that had broke. and spitting all this foam over, and he is just covered in it. So what do you learn from that? What do you take? What's the takeaway from an experience like that? If foam, if this green foam smells like crap, smells like sewage, don't go running through it, right? Especially on a windy day, because you're going to get it in your mouth. You're going to get it in your eyes. You're going to get it up your nose. He's fine, by the way, it turns out. Didn't get sick or anything like that. But Jesus, man. Anything for the story, right? And it kind of came out that Irene wasn't as bad as everybody had kind of, you know, portrayed it to be. The media had portrayed it to be. I mean, you know, my heart goes out to the people who have flood damage and some people lost their lives. But I mean, compare and contrast here, people. Look at what happened in Katrina. Look what happened at this one. I mean, not as much damage. And they keep on saying, like, the news reports. I heard a news report today reporting that the damage is in, like, the $1 billion range for Vermont. Well, no shit, because every house up there is worth about, you know, $10 million. Because, you know, along the water is where all the rich people live. Well, no shit, it's in the billions of dollars. That's stupid. I mean, my heart, you know, there's good people that live up there. We have family that lives near there, and friends. So, you know, I'm not speaking ill of anybody there, and I wish the best for everybody. And most of the time their insurance is going to take care of all of that. Especially if you live on like the seashore, your insurance is probably going to cover that, right? I mean, you'd think you'd have like flood insurance or some sort of like ocean damage insurance or something, because those houses get beaten during the winter. I mean, it's the Atlantic Ocean, right? You should have some sort of insurance there. I don't know. Hold on. Hear that, folks? That is yet another amazing American Blonde by the good people of the American Brewing Company. You should really check these guys out. We had the chance to, we got invited up to the brewery. By the way, I'm done talking about the raw sewage because everybody else and their father has talked about that story. I just wanted to put in my 2 cents because that's what I do. But, okay, so we got invited to the American Brewing Company up in Edmonds, Washington, the Noise Beam people. We all went up there. They opened the place up just for us. Took us for a... Whoa, excuse me. Oh, that's what beer does. Makes you burp. Yeah, we got invited up there, and they opened up the doors for us. They fed us pizza and all sorts of beer. They gave us these little samplers and stuff like that. They gave us free pint glasses with their emblem on it and everything. And, man, I got to say, I am so glad that we've got a sponsor like this. Because, first of all, the beer is awesome. And, like, I'm not usually a, like, IPA drinker or a heavy beer drinker. But it's really good. It is really, really good, and I think you guys will enjoy it as well. You can find them on Facebook, American Brewing Company, just on the internets, or up in Edmonds, Washington. You go visit them. You can go and have a drink there, man. It is good shit. And so they gave us these little samplers. I'm not a big oatmeal stout kind of guy, but they have an oatmeal stout there, Caboose Oatmeal Stout, to be exact. And they gave us a tester of one of these little ones with just the basic, like, CO2 or something like that. You know how they put it in the keg and stuff, they tap it, and it comes out. Well, it comes out because of the CO2, you know, the pressurized keg. And so one was pressurized with CO2. The other one was pressurized with nitrous. And same beer, kid you not, same beer, looked totally different from each other. Like, the nitrous one looked totally smoother and tasted way better. Way better. I was blown away. I had no idea. And it was so smooth and kind of like chocolatey and coffee, you know, flavor to it and stuff. Oh man, it was good. So you guys need to check these guys out. American Brewing Company. Up in Edmonds, Washington. What's their tagline again? I say it at the beginning of the show. I should know it. But I don't.
Because you're ugly and retarded.
Maybe because I'm ugly and retarded. I have no idea. Okay, well, we're going to get to this interview, but before we do, we're going to play the song We Sing in Time by The Lonely Forest. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. Sorry in advance for any level issues, because we did record this in a bar. But I had a great time talking to these guys, and I think you'll really enjoy it, if you can hear it. But we will see. So, they are also playing at Bumbershoot, maybe I should have had that pulled up as well. Maybe that would have helped. Maybe that would have. You'll never know, though, because I didn't. So, there you go. Bumbershoot, they're playing September 4th at Bumbershoot. I don't know what stage they're playing on. God, man, I'm bad at this. Maybe I should just quit. Anyway, here's We Sing in Time by The Lonely Forest. And when we get back, we will have more of the Air Raid Podcast with The Lonely Forest. Coming to you from the Brown Lantern Tavern in Anacortes, Washington. We'll be right back. So, I am sitting here in, what are we, the Brown Lantern?
Yes, sir.
In Anacortes, Washington, interviewing two parts of The Lonely Forest, John and, what's
Tony.
Your name again? Tony.
Yep.
Okay. You look like a Tony.
Do I?
Yeah, yeah. So it works. It's working for you.
I never liked my name very much. But
really?
It just...
Is that like a holdover from being like in elementary school and everybody has like, Brad?
It's because it was
Michael.
Tony's Pizza Day.
Oh, and Tony's Pizza sucks.
And Tony's Pizza sucks, and it's cut into a square, it's not cut into a slice. And I just remember all the kids were excited for it, but they'd be like, hey, it's your pizza. Like, no, it's really not my pizza. I was a weird kid. I didn't like pizza, and I still don't like pizza.
You don't like pizza?
No.
At all? Not just, even in high form.
I will eat it if I need to. But I would never choose to go eat pizza.
Okay. That strikes me as strange.
It's very un-American of you, Tony.
I was going to say, the other food on that list is cheeseburgers.
I bet you've made it onto like some Patriot Act list of potential terrorists because
seriously.
You don't eat cheeseburgers.
You're now on the no-fly list,
my
friend.
An extra pat down at the airport because I don't like cheeseburgers and pizza.
They even offer you one just to test you. You should start eating cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just stomach it,
man. You're gonna be deported.
Yeah, if you guys ever play overseas anytime soon, you're not gonna be able to
come back.
Yeah.
No.
Which is probably awesome, actually. Hopefully we'll be playing Germany,
and
you'll be stuck in Germany.
I would gladly live in Germany.
Yeah, me too.
Wait, are you guys going to be playing Germany here pretty soon?
No. We have a European booking agent, but it's so expensive, and actually Atlantic has yet to release our music in Europe or the UK, so it's kind of... You know, there's no reason to go over there yet.
Right, right. So, yeah, I guess if they can't hear you, then...
Yeah, it's weird, because we get emails from people like, hey, I love your band, I live in Zurich.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do you even... I mean, I guess the internet, you know, makes sense.
Play Prague, please.
Yeah, or they're like, please come over here. We're like, well, we'd love to, but it's super expensive, and without the record technically being released... And then I also think that means that we aren't allowed to sell it there.
Right.
Like
right.
As merch. So it just turns into this,
this big debacle.
It's complicated.
Very complicated.
All right. And there's the title to this week's episode.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. Only for us. So you guys have been doing pretty well for yourselves, though. Wouldn't you say? Does it feel like you guys have done pretty well? In my eyes, you know.
I mean, I feel good about everything.
Yeah.
We've been involved in a very slow, healthy, growing company. Like, because that's kind of what we are. We see ourselves as a business. I mean, it's our art, it's our hobby, but it's been a business
it's
for us.
How
it's our job.
Paying rent.
Yeah. So, I mean.
That's
doing
more
well.
Than most musicians can say, too, though. I mean, that's,
it's,
you know, that's
and in that
cool.
regard, I think we're really blessed, lucky, fill in the blank, you know, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
There's a lot of good bands who aren't making money. Mm-hmm. A lot of good bands who aren't making money.
Yeah. So, I mean, but you guys recently did a... You were on Jimmy Kimmel.
We were on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right? That must have been pretty surreal.
It was. It was surreal, but they also did a good job of making it really comfortable, I thought. I never once felt pressure or like we were necessarily on a TV show, even.
But was it, like, super quick? I mean, it was just like all of a sudden you're out there, you play the song, and
totally.
Then you're gone?
That part, it happened quick, but they did, you know, we sound checked, we played the songs, like... three times. We played two songs. We played each song probably three times before that. And so...
You know what caught me off guard? Was the amount of time we had between the filming of the first song and the second song. Because I had forgotten... Speaking of forgetting suits or anything, I forgot my guitar in an Acordus. My guitar that I tour with. I was so obsessed with other things, I just forgot it. And so I had to play a different guitar that... I think the intonation was off a little bit, so it wasn't very good at staying in tune. And anyways, I don't think I had enough time to tune between the two songs. Before some guy was like, are you ready? We got
10 like
seconds.
10 seconds,
oh my God.
Between songs.
Putting on a capo, trying to tune, making sure my guitar sounds all right. That freaked me out a little bit.
It sounded
fine. It's slightly out of tune. It's kind of built to split.
I thought it sounded, right.
I was very disappointed with the mix when it was on TV. Yeah. It sounds, it's like super duper compressed everything. Like,
can you hear my guitar?
My guitar, I kind of felt like I might as well have not played guitar or just played air guitar.
Uh-huh.
You were playing air guitar, right?
Pretty much, yeah. But,
Yeah, you thought your guitar was out of tune. His was way off.
His wasn't even in the mix.
So wait, did you have to borrow a guitar then from somebody?
Yeah, the Gibson showroom, which normally would be loaded with amazing guitars.
Right.
That day, there was an episode of CSI that was using a bunch of Gibsons for some reason. And then there was a commercial using a bunch of Gibsons. So there was literally one actual Gibson Les Paul in the building. Everything else was Epiphone, which is not a huge problem, but I would prefer to use an American-made, like, really great guitar.
What'd you end up using?
I played a Gibson Les Paul Gold Top.
Oh, okay.
And it... I don't play...
Les Paul Classics or whatever.
And I don't play Les Pauls.
That's a pretty rad guitar, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think this guitar in particular... I'm a G&L guy.
Oh, okay.
I think this guitar had been a little neglected, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it all had a huge gouge in the side.
Yeah, it wasn't... I mean,
This was the one that they gave to people who forget their guitar when they're going on one of the nightly TV shows.
Yep.
You know, Gibson has let us borrow a lot of stuff. Actually, they're really, really nice,
they
awesome
are really
people.
Sweet.
How does that work? I guess I've always thought it's like the Gibson showroom is where they just like take pictures of musicians
well,
with
most
guitars.
Of the big cities have them. You know, like Seattle has
one. Yeah, Seattle has one.
Yeah,
it's a promotional thing.
Yeah, it is. Like they just want people to. especially, I guess, if you are...
So, like, touring bands can just go pick up some equipment.
If you're a touring band, I think if you can prove that you're...
legit.
On a label, or, like, really touring, or doing... Not just, like, I don't think some dude could go in there and be like, let me borrow that this fall custom for 2 weeks. Like, that might not work.
Yeah.
You have to know somebody who works there.
You have to know someone who works there, or know someone that knows someone.
And, I mean, if we're playing on Kimmel... I don't know how many thousands of people watch that, but for them, you know, if the lead singer of the band is wearing...
1.4 million viewers a night.
That's pretty rad.
So if 1.5 million people are watching this TV show, it does Gibson good to have, you know, one of their...
They want their stuff to be seen.
Well, don't... If you ever need to borrow a guitar from there, don't tell them that you've been on the Air Raid podcast. Because you guys are going to be the only two that listen to it, so...
That's mine.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
I'm going to listen to it on repeat. That's my voice, man. Wow, we sound cool.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Gibson got raided?
Oh, yeah, for the wood that they were using.
Yeah, because they used that, like... I've always thought it was sketchy. Apparently it's the second time it's happened.
Yeah, no, but it's like the third or the fourth.
Guys, okay. Please enlighten me.
These guitars that they call, like, their Smart Wood series or something, and it's guitars made out of really rare wood from the rainforest. But they claim that they...
That is taken from sustainable parts of the rainforest,
but it wasn't. Or buy it from a farm where it's, like, that's what they do. Yeah. But apparently that wasn't the case. So Gibson, like, dudes with, like, M16s kicking doors in...
Yeah, it was like the ATF or something like that.
I picture the intern fighting them off with a...
Like
a gold top. You'll never take
one. One of the vintage series, though. It was one of the vintage. Yeah. So I mean, that playing, doing something like that, where you guys go on Kimmel. I mean, did that just blow your mind, though?
It's weird.
Were you super, super excited for it? And was that just a one-time thing? Like, you guys flew out to New York just to do that?
We flew out to L.A.
L.A. Oh, okay.
I was literally there less than 24 hours, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Because I flew out super early the next morning, and it supposedly is the first of many, and it's a good thing to get used to. But, you know, the crazy thing is, like...
Did they fly you out?
Yeah, well, the label flew us out.
Oh, okay.
Which is awesome, but...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've been I think a lot of bands have similar stories, but it is a really surreal thing because, you know, we started playing together when I was 16, and it was just fun, and we're still practicing in the same garage. We write our records there. We recorded two of our first two full-lengths there, and, like, it just feels like... If you would have told us then that we'd be playing Jimmy Kimmel, it would have blown our minds.
Yeah, yeah.
We never would have thought that this would be us.
Yeah, so it's just a labor of love. Like, it was because we have fun doing it, and
right.
Kind of one of those things where you think, like, yeah, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to do this and just this? You know, and not have to go practice after work or go do this thing after.
Because
that was our life.
Yeah, that's the thing that weirds me out from day to day.
Yeah. It's like, this is now your job. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's really...
And the fact that, I mean, for example, we got to tour with Death Cab for Cutie, which, around here, as you know, I mean, Death Cab for Cutie in our world is
legends. Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm sure if you'd have told a 16-year-old Tony that his band would be touring with Death Cab for Cutie, opening for them and becoming friends with them, you probably would have shit your pants.
No, I would have.
Or started crying.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the Manana Cordis in 1998. It was like one of their first shows.
Yeah, yeah.
They played at the Business when it was at its original location. And there was like 10 people there. I remember just thinking, this band's pretty good. They're probably going to do well. Like, I don't know. I like them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then just I've kind of seen them in every size venue from like 10 people to like 200 to 400 to like 6 to 1,000 to the Paramount Theater, which is like 2,800.
Right.
And then to seeing them at the Bumbershoot main stage, the Memorial, which is like, I don't know how many thousand people. To then have the next time be playing with them.
That was bizarre.
And also be really comfortable with... Chris is like one of our best friends. I mean,
Chris Walla.
Chris Walla, yeah.
Who helped produce one of your albums?
Yeah, he produced Arrows.
Oh, we have him. We have a lot We owe Chris a lot.
He actually owns our souls.
I mean, he just...
He's like Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
He's gonna take the firstborn.
Right. Practically. He had the guts to invest in a band that nobody had heard of. And so Chris, I mean, it's been the last 2 years convincing the world that there's a reason to listen to us. And, you know, I don't know if there is or there isn't, but it's huge for us because that doesn't happen to everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Totally.
That sounded kind of cheesy.
Well, does it still... I mean, so you guys have been a band since when? 2006?
2005.
2005. Okay. And so now it's 2011. It's only been... 6 years.
6 years, I'd say about 4 years of actual, like,
of actual, like,
doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 2 years of it being, like...
a real job.
Right,
like, what
right.
We do.
But still, I mean, that's... Okay, so 2 years... Let's subtract that 2 years from the what? 4 years, you said? That of actually doing it?
Right.
Going for
trying
it?
Trying to make it work.
So that's, like, 2 years of being a band before you're actually making good money, being able to quit your day job and do this as a professional gig.
Right.
You know? That's pretty short amount of time in band world, right?
Isn't it? It really is, because, for example, we went on tour with this amazing band called The Joy Formidable. And to us in the States, because they're from Wales, we're thinking this band's brand new. The reality is these people have been working so hard for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's now, like, really paying off for them.
Yeah.
And we meet bands like that all the time. And then they ask me how old I am, and I say 23, and they're like 34. And it really puts it into perspective. I mean, even at 28, we're doing really well. And it really hasn't
been that
long.
Sometimes you meet bands that are...
They've been a band for a year.
And, you know, we'll meet them and they're playing, like, really big rooms and clearly doing really well. And it's like, they don't... Their version of being in a band is like, oh yeah, we, like, recorded a record and now...
Right,
This is what we do.
It's interesting because we're going on tour with a band called Tudor Cinema Club from Ireland.
Okay.
I'll be interested to see how long they've been playing, because to us, it just happened.
Yeah.
And for all we know, they've been a band for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then we're going out with the band called Minus the Bear. They've been doing it a long ass time.
Right.
They've been working really hard for
it. And it took them a while to start to get notoriety too.
Yeah.
Like, they worked a long time before they really started getting airplay and stuff like that. But I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is, because I always just felt like, God, that just must be an amazing feeling. Like, did you wake up one morning just going, holy shit, this is happening? Like, at any point in time,
it
sounds cliche, but
it's
like
a reoccurring...
pinching yourself, you know.
The mornings that I don't wake up really hungover, I feel that way.
Yeah,
now, Tony, don't become an alcoholic. Don't ruin this, okay?
The mornings he's waking up with a hangover, he's not thinking about the grand picture. He's just thinking about the night before.
Right, right.
Like, did that really happen?
Holy shit. It's like, I had sex with 8 ladies.
8 midgets.
Hey, that is not the proper nomenclature, apparently.
I actually just learned that, and I feel badly that I've been a little bit behind on the what's political.
I think a lot of people just learned that, though.
Well, I grew up saying that.
Right,
So what is it now? Like,
this little person.
Right, which seems more offensive to me, because that implies that there's something
not normal about them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But where did the name...
That's a good point.
Where did the term... I wonder where the term midget came from. Is it...
It's got to be some, like, way back when derogatory
kind of
term for it or something.
It's like calling a First Nations person an Indian.
Don't even say that around me.
You know what I mean, though? No, it's very similar because you know, 100 years ago, that's what we called them, because that's...
Right, right.
And now, it might not even be First Nation.
Yeah.
It's probably
then,
indigenous, maybe?
Somebody will say, when you say that, they'll say dot or feather, and then everybody's offended. Like now.
I would love that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Would it be possible to get...
We're going to take a quick break and get some drinks. We'll be back in a moment.
trying to smile and
Well, she just got to the point, like, I don't know, maybe just a couple weeks ago, where she is like, she's smiling so often.
That's cool.
And it's an amazing thing, because now you know it's not just gas, you know? It's gotten to the point where it's like, oh, okay, this isn't a fart or a burp. She's actually smiling
on
her own
now.
This
is actually funny or
yeah.
amusing to her yeah. in one way or another.
You guys ever think you'll have kids?
Yes yeah. and no. I always wanted kids.
Well, you just got married, right? Congratulations,
yeah.
by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've always wanted kids, but now there's this part of me that I just weren't gone. So, like, it would have to be at the right time.
Right.
Because I don't want to be, like, dad who's not there kind of thing. And then also, I think the world sucks so much now that I'm not sure if... I'm just scared of
bringing a little person into it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point, though, is like bringing a person into it that will make the world better.
That's
right.
To prevail as a parent.
Yes. Yes. It's like Idiocracy. Like the people in. I'm not even gonna say the state.
Well, let's not bring it up.
But yeah. You know, like that that line in the Harvey Danger song. All the stupid people are breeding. It's totally true.
You know,
needs more smart people to breed, right?
You know, that is such a can of worms. I did this thing. I took a college course where I did this huge report on the pros and cons of breeding, and how there's a huge group of people that believe that humans should just stop having sex, or stop having children, not having sex.
Right, right.
And that we should just
die off, draining
and that the earth
resources.
Would be better, and in some ways I agree, but I mean, geez. Humans
and who's gonna use
we're
the
we're so awesome. Like, it's such a beautiful thing.
The other thing is, I have a nephew who's, like, about to turn 4.
Uh-huh.
And he's definitely my favorite person in the world, you know? And that has almost satisfied, I think, some of my urges to have
right,
a child.
Do you see them? Do they live here in town,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he lives, you know, 2 minutes away from me, so I can go to his house, buy him candy, like...
Yeah, so you're the close uncle. You get all the rewards with none of the none of
the
drawbacks.
And then as soon as he starts barfing or, like, screaming or anything like that...
Oh, well, I got some Breaking Bad to go watch. I'll go check that out. Yeah.
Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
I absolutely love that show.
Man, my wife and I have become... as addicted
junkies?
To meth as we are to Breaking Bad.
Wait, rephrase that again. Because I don't think you're going to want that quoted.
Oh, I've said
as
it before on the show. It's fine. It's
wait,
totally
you become
fine.
As addicted to meth?
These teeth are all fake.
You become addicted to Breaking Bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Great
yeah.
show.
It's an amazing show. And like we,
I agree.
We recently kind of found like the Amazon... Yeah, the Amazon site, you know, you can go and you can buy separate episodes. It's one click, you know, so you don't have to go through the whole thing of like typing in your Visa card information and stuff. So now it's just super easy to lose money.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've gone and
super
like
convenient.
We don't have cable, so it's like, you know, just buying the shows.
Yeah.
So the new season you're buying?
Yes.
See, that's
yes.
what I wish. I don't have cable either. I don't have internet. So I just buy the seasons when they come out. So I have to wait a pretty long time in between seasons.
Yeah. Well, that's almost better, though, because it gives you some time to refresh.
Especially from a show like Breaking Bad, where literally every episode I want to die.
And
oh, my
nice
God.
When you can watch something. I can't stand watching something that's on TV one episode at a time, because if I'm ready to watch something, I want to sit and watch 5 episodes at
totally.
Once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
I don't want to be like, well, next Thursday, find out what happens to Bob. Like, okay.
It's like, did you guys ever get into Lost?
I watched the first season.
Wife was obsessed with it.
See, we got really drawn into that show, and we did the same thing where we would just wait for the seasons to come out. But we got into it into like when they were in maybe the 4th season, and so we were able to go to Blockbuster down the street and just rent the shit out of that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I mean,
did you finish it?
Oh yeah, we finished it. And
see,
it was, I don't know.
I watched the first season.
Yeah.
I really liked it because I like that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. You're a sci-fi guy?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Don't even start. But I happen to be at a UW like party, right?
Yeah.
And they put in a Lost episode where there's a fucking helicopter. And I'd only seen the part where there's like a hatch. And I just, it ruined my life. Like, I had like a half an hour of being stoned and pissed off. Because I had no idea what had happened.
Right, right.
And suddenly there's...
You've seen the future and I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. I saw the future.
I will say that the show, I think this happened for a lot of people, but it ended exactly the way I had predicted.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Not like, making sense?
No.
Well, you have to figure it out for yourself. Like,
yeah.
But, you come up with your own little idea. Yeah, yeah.
It is one of those things, once you know, then you have to go back and be like, wait, well, what was that? Or what was this?
Yeah. And then it got people into, like, these serious discussions about what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, they were in purgatory.
Right.
And they were just, like, you know, waiting to go on to the next life. And then some people were like, no, it was all...
Dude.
You know, and then people would get pissed off at each other, like...
Yeah, right.
I'm not talking to it. I haven't talked to my best friend for years because of the last episode. That's a lie.
How cool would it be if Purgatory actually was something like Lost, though? I'd be stoked.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, you know, let's just hang out on this island. Maybe do some
surfing.
But
it's a different scenario every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
Just don't go looking for a hatch. If you ever make it to Purgatory, don't go looking for a hatch, because you're just going to fuck everything up.
Right. Exactly. Is that what happened? So once again, that's all I've seen is to the hatch. The second they found the hatch, it was all over.
I don't even know, man.
Okay.
I can't remember. So yeah, you just got married.
Mm-hmm. You want to know something interesting?
What?
Our drummer just got married.
Drummer just got married as well.
I'm married.
You're married?
And our bass player got engaged a couple days ago.
So now he's next in line.
We are the Lonely Forest, more or less, is officially the least rock and roll band of all time.
And the unloneliest.
Mm-hmm.
The unloneliest.
Oh, marriage can be lonely.
Well, I guess. I mean, if you guys are on the road a lot.
Totally.
Which you probably are.
Yep.
Yeah. Does that get hard on you? Now that you kind of, I mean, you have, you're starting families and stuff like that.
It also is... kind of a really amazing tool to make your relationship awesome. I think because you are forced to spend time away from each other, so when you are together, it's that much better.
That's right.
I feel like when I come home, I'm 100 times more excited to see her than... Not the same. I'm not like when she comes home from work. I like, mm-hmm. It's like, hey, yeah, cool. How was it? Cool. Great to see you. I've been sitting here on the couch.
Did you notice that guy that just walked by and crop dusted us?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did absolutely notice that.
It smells like rotten shit.
He made eye contact with me as he walked by, too, and I was like, don't do
me
that.
Me, too, actually.
Don't
Maybe
do
he kind of like caught our gaze.
Yeah.
He knew it.
Thanks a lot, dude.
For a second.
You know, one of the things...
I think it was this... No, it wasn't that guy. It was some other guy. I think it was another guy. Yeah.
One of the things I've been really thinking about a lot lately is the fact that it takes me a little while to adjust to a change.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not afraid of change at all. In fact, probably less so than most people. But I actually feel like I just got used to being home.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And realizing, like, what it means to be able to walk to the store and come back and see my wife, or
mm-hmm.
read a book, or play a video game, or write a song, and not go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then we're going to leave in 8 days, whatever it is, and then I'm going to have to adjust to being in a different place every night. And
right.
Sleeping on my little pad, because I sleep, I have terrible sleeping habits, so like I have to sleep on the floor, my little pad. So I gotta get used to that.
Are you afraid of bed bugs or something?
No, I'm really OCD,
uh-huh.
And so it actually took me about a year to be able to sleep with my wife and not be able to worry about whether or not my rolling around is
who's gonna keep her awake.
Exactly.
Or like
so
that.
When I share a bed with somebody, I don't sleep a wink.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly rolling around and it's just I don't do it.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, so I have to get. I'm preparing myself to like the transition, I guess.
Right.
It's
right.
A really weird thing.
Yeah.
For me.
So now you have to get used to sleeping alone again.
Sleeping alone and, you know, sharing the hotel with 4 or 5 people or. There's countless.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing is when you get back and there's nothing on your agenda. The kind of thing where,
like you've been going.
Especially for you, though, right?
You get home and you're like, I'm not going to go through 3 states today.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay in the court. The farthest I will go is 32nd Street.
You know, or like Costco.
Which isn't very far, by the way.
It's really not. As we're a day, you know, on tour, a short drive is like, oh, sweet, we only drive like 2-3 hours today.
Yes.
That's awesome. That feels...
That's nothing.
Nothing. As we're... You know, the long days are when you drive 8 or 9.
Right.
Or
right.
22 or yeah, 50.
And then the ones where you just don't stop and keep going.
We played Bumbershoot on Sunday. We played Boston a couple days later. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean...
Wait, are you driving that whole distance?
Driving straight because...
Wow.
In the past, we've been lucky enough that when we finished on the East Coast, we just left our van and trailer and flew home. But it didn't... Last time we were coming up the West Coast, so, you know, we ended up driving home. So we do have to drive all the way out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? Is this happening right now, or is this a big deal?
I think that's happening.
I think that's happening now. All right.
Anyways,
are we talking about the Seattle Chicago game here?
Yeah.
Are you guys big baseball fans?
I love baseball.
Yeah. I could never get into it. I don't know. I go to the games sometimes, but
I understand why people can't get into it.
It's slow.
But those are the reasons that I love it.
Did you guys play baseball when you were younger?
I played a lot of baseball.
Yeah, I played, like, T-ball. But
yeah.
I was too shy to be, I don't know. I was bad at that kind of thing.
Sports are hard for someone who doesn't like attention on themselves because...
Right. Well, so is
baseball.
So you joined a band that made it big.
Yeah, but at first, Tony hid behind this really long hair, and he'd kind of turn around.
Yeah.
Play. So it allowed him like 5 or 6 years to get used
to
being on stage.
I feel really comfortable if I have a guitar in hand and if I'm with all of them. Playing on stage by myself, worst nightmare.
Totally different story.
Never ever want to do that.
Yeah. You know what my worst nightmare is? Is just talking on mic without like a guitar or doing something like that. That's my in front of people.
You mean like doing stand up comedy or something?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. That would be
talking into a mic.
I would shit myself.
You'd never talk to the mic.
Every once in a while, I have had to like dictate something through the microphone, really basic.
Yeah.
Like, can everyone move that way?
Or please be careful because your moshing is hurting that 13-year-old girl in the front row.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Whereas
so,
Eric, our bass player, who does work up the courage on occasion to say something to the mic, especially when I'm like having technical difficulties, which happens like every other show. So I can't keep them occupied. So Eric decides to talk to the mic and he says something like, "Thank you for coming, guys. We love you all."
Yeah, he always says something really funny.
Like it just comes out. It's just like almost vomiting words out, just trying to get
like
it.
Eric.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like a different person.
It's like the doesn't want to give his biology speech Eric.
Right, right.
It's not the normal Eric.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've toyed with having a mic. Just because I randomly have really smart-ass things to say.
Yeah.
Dude, we had our like first real heckler in LA, and we were opening for Death Cab.
Oh God, what's that like?
Well, it was funny.
It was funny.
And actually, the guy was pretty funny.
Was he just yelling like you
well,
suck?
He has. We like have that, two songs that work really good for hecklers. One is Turn Off the Song, and the other is End It Now. So he was yelling, "Turn off the song. Where's Ben? End it now." And like my first response was, "I'm gonna be really like." Super offensive and just call this motherfucker out.
Right, right.
And then I decided that that wasn't a good look for the band. You know, we're not Queens of the Stone Age. I can't just chew somebody out for
You're not a six foot five Josh Holm.
Exactly, and I'm not that kind of guy.
Smash
like,
some heads.
I'm okay if they don't like us. In fact, I get it.
Yeah.
It was weird. And actually, our drummer Braden, who hits hard regardless. We're playing probably the heaviest song in the set. Is hitting so hard after that. He was furious. If that guy would have come up on stage, in fact, I was almost ready to be like, "Hey, fuckface, where are you? Raise your hand."
Yeah, yeah.
Would everybody please flip this guy off right now? And I'm sure actually hundreds of people would have turned and flipped him off.
Yeah, yeah.
If that guy would have come up on stage, Braden would have shoved his drumstick through the guy's eye socket. He would have done something so terribly violent, we would have all been appalled.
Yeah.
He was
furious. And then he'd be in jail now, and you guys would be minus a drummer.
Minus the bear. Because he is kind of a bear. He is, actually.
Situation like that, I kind of wish I had a mic, because I can usually think of something really smart-ass.
I had something good.
Annoying to say.
I almost said something like...
You can come back with, like, a really snarky comment.
Well, yeah.
That's what you need to do, is, like, just work on that as a band in the van on your way to Boston. And, so like, if it ever comes up, you guys know, you can just do it, and people will be like, oh, my God, they're so quick-witted and
this
smart.
This guy was totally a bro. And you know he paid, like, $400 to some on Craigslist to get into this Death Cab show to see Ben Gibbard play I Will Fall Into the Dark by himself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know that guy doesn't own Photo Album. And I was going to say something along those lines, like, you asshole. You probably don't even
own
Photo Album.
Was he wearing an Abercrombie and Fitch shirt or something?
I don't know. I couldn't see him.
Okay. Dude, I'm going to follow you into the dark.
I see.
That's it. There
see?
You go. There's the comment.
I will follow
There's
you.
There's
the
comment.
Dark.
You just need to get back on tour with Death Cab now.
Hey, fucker. I will follow you into the dark.
So do you guys still get nervous playing? Because, well, first, what size of were the shows when you guys were on tour with Death Cab?
They were perfect.
I thought they were perfect, too. For them, it was a small underplay tour.
Yeah.
But that meant 1,500 capacity rooms across the country.
Fuck, man, that's so huge.
Which is pretty big rooms. And what's weird is that the Two Door Cinema Club tour is even bigger than that.
I'm sorry, that is one of the best...
John's raising his hand.
It's Ween.
He wants to say something.
No, we've been talking about synths later.
Right.
Or lately, and that's one of... If you put a synthesizer through a delay pedal with a sequencer, I guess you get the coolest sound ever, which is what's happening right now. This is the mollusk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
you kind of hear it in the background.
1,500 capacity rooms.
Yeah, except for New York and LA, which were purposely made... really, really small.
700 maybe?
Which most people go the other way and make those the biggest, but...
Yeah.
New York was 550, and LA was 750. Which,
really?
For Death Cab for Cutie, is...
Considering they play arenas.
You know, considering they play 6 to 10,000 capacity arenas.
Yeah.
That's, like, not even a fraction.
And the Two Door Cinema Club show in New York we're playing is sold out.
Yeah, it's at Terminal 5.
And it's a 3,500 capacity room.
Wow, and so that's coming up on the next tour?
Yeah,
the whole tour.
And are you guys headlining this one, or,
no,
or is
no.
it the Cure band from Ireland?
First of three.
No,
oh, okay.
Opening.
It's us and then Bombay Bicycle Club.
Yep, and then they get
recorded. Really great. I actually like that band a lot.
I don't know if I've heard them. I've heard that name.
They get replaced by Group Love on the West Coast.
No way!
Yeah.
That's one of Sam's bands.
Yep. And then Las Vegas, it's just a two-band bill, us and Two Door.
Oh, dude, I gotta get my Link costume. By the way, did you see my tattoo the other day at practice?
Oh, I forgot that you got it.
I can't really roll up my sleeve. I got a Triforce on my arm.
Zelda?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, so we're playing a House of Blues in Vegas, which is, you know, attached to a casino. It's going to be an amazing night.
With Two Door playing at the Hard Rock. At, like, the huge Hard Rock room.
Oh, wait, it's not House of Blues?
House of Blues is with Minus Bear.
We're playing two
Vegas
shows
within a shows within a month.
No way. So, well, the one's close to Halloween.
That was my birthday party.
Yeah, so you're going to dress up like a mariachi guy, right?
I'm going to try to find a very well-fitting mariachi costume.
Awesome.
I
want to
be Link.
And you want to be Link.
And my wife might go down to the show, and she might be Princess Zelda. She would be a great Princess Zelda.
Nice. So do you guys still get nervous playing shows? Like,
occasionally. I get nervous for the weird ones. Like, when we play
like
here
if you're touring with like a band that's harder or something
like
that.
Like, we played here in town. We hadn't played an inter-quarter show in a while, and that's weird because
you know everybody.
You can literally look in the audience, and if you don't personally know them, you know who they are.
Right.
Like, oh, that kid lives down the street from my mom, and he works at Safeway. That guy works at the gas station.
Like it's. We more or less know half the people in this room right now.
Okay.
And that's the way this town works.
Yeah.
I do think playing for people you know.
It's much harder.
Harder than playing for a random crowd in Phoenix, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's just different.
I never felt nervous on the Death Cab tour. All those shows I thought were very... The crowd was so nice to us. And
I was nervous in L.A. because we rented gear. So we didn't have our gear, which is actually a really funny story in itself. We played Boston, and then we flew out to play L.A., and there was no way our van and trailer was going to get to L.A. in time.
Uh-huh.
So we hired a couple of our buddies from Anacortes to drive the van and trailer from Boston to San Francisco, because they would have been able to get there in time for us to play our next show in San Fran. But unfortunately, our van exploded in Illinois.
Ooh.
And they had to sell our what we bought for $8,000, our van for $700, right? Was it seven?
I think six.
$600. Rent a U-Haul van and then haul U-Haul ass to San Francisco.
With our trailer on it plus everything else that was in the van.
Everything in the van. We had a TV, an Xbox 360, Wii, you know, random shit that had just been in there from the last like eight tours. They piled it all into the back of a U-Haul and just drove. It was incredible.
Man. That's some good friends.
And
then we paid them plus when they like gave us money for the van, we were like, dudes, you guys should keep that because like that is not what you signed up for.
One of the guys that was driving our van for us actually he needed to get to San Diego to a specific day because he was proposing to his fiance or to his girlfriend. And his whole family's gonna be there.
Yeah, like,
and it was like one day of one open opportunity to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, actually, that was one of the biggest concerns is whether or not our friend Eric was gonna be able to get to San Diego in time to propose to his girlfriend in front of everybody that was flying.
Like his whole family and her family and
needless to say, it was a very stressful week.
Did he make it?
We lost a shit ton of money.
And she said yes, and we hemorrhaged so much. Like, I don't think we've ever spent that much money in a 48-hour period ever.
Well, congratulations to your friend.
Galen and Eric, they did a great job.
Nice, nice.
And you know what's funny? Galen was so tired. He fell asleep both times Death Cab was playing. Like I remember two specific moments where he's got the best seat in the house. You know, he's in this like VIP balcony.
Like from the green room balcony. Right. Like you're on the side of the stage.
He's
nice.
Death Cab's playing. You know, Soulmate's like Body or some big hit.
The balcony where the Muppets used to sit.
Yeah, the two guys.
Yeah, the two guys.
Exactly. That's such a good shirt, by the way. The Sonic shirt that says Robbed.
Right. Right.
They're playing, you know, Soulmate's Body, their biggest hit, and Galen's literally just asleep.
Just out.
Had best seat in the house. Only Galen could do that.
So do you guys think, because I've heard in an interview before you guys say that you never plan on moving out of this town. Is that true?
Dude, I love this town.
Yeah?
I
love Anacortes.
We live in absolutely one of the coolest places in the United States, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, I mean, because you guys have toured all over the U.S.
Yeah,
now.
I feel like more confident saying that, having been to, I think we've traveled through 45 states now.
Uh-huh.
I still feel like we live in the best one and the coolest town. I really like Minneapolis and San Francisco.
What about Washington, D.C.?
D.C., I really do like. I don't know if I'd want to live there.
Yeah. DC is really cool though.
Is it? I've never been there myself.
DC, yeah, you hear people complain about it a lot, but I don't really get why. Because it's every time I've been there, it's been awesome.
And you went to the cool parts, apparently.
I think that's the thing.
Well, that and we got to play an amazing rock show in front of 1,500 people,
right?
All whom were really great, the best that crowds.
After that show, Ben told us that it was in the top 10 of Death Cab shows of all time.
Really?
It's like, we rarely have that much fun, and that was like, that one's going down in the...
You know what's interesting about that is that, and I actually teared up watching them play. It was, they were messing up left and right. Like,
yeah,
they were totally scrappy.
They were like, wrong notes were being played everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's because they were just having a fucking blast.
Well, they felt like a real rock and roll band.
Were they drunk?
No, they're all pretty much all sober.
Are
The only Nick and Jason drink, but they don't
they don't get drunk.
But they drink very, like two light beers. Yeah.
Unlike you guys, who have now had like three drinks.
We're drunk all the time.
I guess. Actually, this last tour was the first tour I really indulged in drinks.
Yeah.
Like, people were buying me drinks so much that I couldn't keep count. And there was a couple nights when I couldn't load gear because I got so drunk.
We thought he died once.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this?
He was asleep just face first with his arms like crooked on his side. Just laying like on top of his sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And we actually had a discussion where we're like,
should we turn his head on his
side? Like,
He could be dead, but I think he's okay.
We've all been there.
I'm a scrawny guy that can drink a lot, like more than most of my friends that are a lot bigger than me. But I got sick for my first time from drinking on not the Death Cab Tour, but the Joy Formidable Tour.
Well, that's the one I was referring to.
Rhode Island, yeah, and it sucked. It was just such a defeating moment in my life.
Well, we went through Wendy's, and we were the last people to order from the drive-thru before they closed. They had all this shitty food that had been sitting, incubating in their microwaves for hours.
Uh-huh.
And there's this total stoner is like, hey, man, the guy in the drive-thru.
Right.
All this extra food, I'll give you, 30 chicken nuggets for
$10. Yeah, him and Braden were, bartering.
Right. Our drummer.
Not the price of on the menu.
You know things are going south when you're bartering for food at Wendy's drive-thru.
Braden loves, chicken nuggets and fries and shit.
Yeah.
So we get so much, shitty Wendy's food for really cheap.
Uh-huh.
And he ends up eating it, which is a bad idea, and just puking everywhere. It was great.
I don't eat fast food, plus I don't... I don't know. I knew things were going south when we were in the van driving back to the hotel.
Yeah.
It's kind of I really don't feel very good. It's because the bartender kept giving me...
doubles.
He was giving me whatever I wanted.
Yeah,
afterwards, I don't know why. He was just being really nice.
Yeah.
And I remember the last thing I drank was literally it wasn't a pint glass. It was a rocks glass. But he didn't put any ice in it. He just filled it with whiskey, and I'm already just wasted. And... you know, I'm drunk, so I'm like, yeah, cool, let's drink the whole thing.
Dude, she totally looks like the chick from Meizu State.
Oh, whoa,
in fact, I thought it was her.
It's the bangs.
It's the bangs.
She but she... kind of...
like Kirsten Dunst?
No.
We actually...
No, her teeth aren't all messed up.
State recently in Connecticut, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, it was this really cool, I guess it's this place in New Haven that has a really great history for punk and hardcore shows. It's in a basement. And I remember thinking, because we'd played with them before in 2006 or something.
Uh-huh.
And they were really good. I like them a lot more now after seeing
them. Was it a good turnout being hardcore venue?
It was 150 people.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It couldn't fit more than 150.
It's like a tiny little basement in this weird house thing that's in the middle
of
called?
It has it a secondhand store on the top?
Yeah.
It's a cool place. We played with actually we toured this band called Bare Hands. Band from Brooklyn, and they are
so good,
so sweet, so awesome, whatever. And so we were actually just excited that we got to play with them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anyways.
So have you guys, speaking of getting drunk, have you guys ever been too drunk to play a show?
Never
or on the verge?
Play, but definitely drunker than I should have been.
Dude, we played, actually, there was a year in which Tony... for health reasons, wasn't playing with us.
I left the band for a year in 07.
He got really sick. Mm-hmm. And we played the High Dive, and I was actually coming down off of acid. And I've never seen footage
Santana
from that show.
Woodstock,
I remember thinking, what?
Taming the snake?
What the fuck am I doing? I'm... Santana, no. No.
He claims he thought his guitar neck was like a snake.
Yeah, at Woodstock. That was the one and only time he had ever dropped acid. Yeah.
I've never heard that story. I just didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could only think about really random shit. It just had nothing to do with the fact that I was I need to capo the third fret now, but my mind was somewhere else. So that's the only time I've been too whatever, not just drunk, just
out of it.
Yeah.
Completely out of it.
Yeah, I was gone.
Yeah, there's maybe been two times where I've ever felt just kind of this is not good.
What was the restaurant we played just a couple blocks from here where they kept giving us Jell-O shots? This is in the era that I had a theremin. I think we jammed. We had
Sasso's. It was this weird restaurant that was only here for 6 months. And they asked us to play this bizarre band.
They lost money. They lost so much money on giving out Jell-O shots to the band.
That's and we don't even Jell-O shots, but they were we made this just for you.
I think I was high. And they tasted really sweet, so I kept thinking, But no, I'm pretty sure we had a 25-minute Pink Floyd jam where all I was doing was putting my hand over the theremin and making noise. Anyways.
You more dark psychedelic times. Days.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think we're pretty good about being responsible. Like, we take our job seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not often that we would ever go on stage and be too drunk or too whatever to play.
Yeah,
like,
right, right. I have a rule that, like...
Well, I think once you get to that point, too, if you're doing that, you become the band that's doomed to fail. Like,
yeah,
that's
if
where
like
that's when the
guys going on stage, like,
right,
that's just bad.
Right. That's when the fights start. Yeah, but that's when like the fights start, like the infighting in the band starts, and just shit goes downhill. Like Kings of Leon recently, like
really?
Canceled the rest of their tour.
Wait, what?
After a show in Texas, I think it was.
Yeah, they had a giant meltdown.
Yeah, like the lead singer was so wasted. They played like three songs really terribly.
That's a bummer.
And then he was like, yeah, we're going to play three more songs. We're going to call it a night, you know?
That sucks.
Yeah.
Especially with a band like them who, whether you like them or not, they deserve to be where they are.
Hey, their first two albums were so, so good.
Yeah. And it just sucks to see them. Yeah, that sucks.
It's because they had been touring since 2008. Like, they haven't taken a break.
Dude, breaks are super important. Yeah. You have to have margin, and you have to have discipline and balance, otherwise you're screwed.
Yeah. And you have to have somewhere that keeps you centered, right?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, because if a label or whoever had it their way, you would never come home.
Right.
Like, what? You need
you
to
would
go,
just work forever.
You would be playing a fiesta on Christmas.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you would be doing
there's often
a radio moments. Performance with an acoustic guitar on Christmas if the label had their way. Mm-hmm. So.
There's been times where we've been asked to play on really ridiculous, like, days that just have been in our calendar. It's like, no, nothing else can happen here. Or, like, a holiday. We're like, no, why?
Yeah, yeah.
We're not doing that. No.
Do you have the power to do that too now? Like, say,
not
we're
really.
Not gonna,
we
we're not
we
gonna
can't really
do that,
push
so.
Our weight around yet because we haven't sold new records. But
we kind of exercise it anyways. Though we're like, well, we're not gonna do this, so just don't.
Yeah.
Book this
well,
thing.
It's also because we're really lucky to work with people who have families and who
who
understand.
Our team of people we work with is. Like, we are, it's remarkable how down to earth they are.
Yeah. Everyone is super sweet.
Like, we would be in trouble if we were working with a booking agent who, when we told them, dude, can we please have Christmas and, or Thanksgiving is a good example. Thanksgiving and Anacortes, most booking agents say, are you kidding? You're joking, right? Like, you need to be in Miami on Thanksgiving. I'm sorry.
Wow.
But our booking
so it's almost
agent,
like if you do it so far in advance, it's almost like having a normal job where you're just like, I need these days off.
It's similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
requesting
we have a
days
better
off.
Job. I
do you have somebody that can fill in for me?
Yeah. I think the fact that we get to work for a few weeks and then have a few weeks off is actually a really good deal.
Yeah.
I know there's other jobs that are similar, and it's a good, I think it's a good way to go. I know my brother-in-law does CAT scans and stuff.
Yeah.
He works Friday, Saturday, Sunday, nonstop. Like, seriously, Friday through Sunday, no breaks or anything.
Yeah.
And then he has the entire week off.
Yeah.
And he gets to spend time with my sister and my nephew. And so seems like a good deal to me.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. I wish my job was like that.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
So is this your job, or do you have like a secondary job? Or
no, this is what I'm trying to make my job.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I'm here in Anacortes.
Cool.
In the beautiful town of Anacortes, by the way.
It is a beautiful place.
This is a cool place. And I, you know, back to, like, you guys, you know, just loving this town and never wanting to leave.
Right.
Like, that's how I feel about my hometown.
Where are you
there's
from?
There's just no work there. Indianola, over on the Kitsap Peninsula. Near Kingston. Do you know where Kingston is? Near Kingston, Edmonds Ferry.
Yeah,
you know,
Edmonds Ferry.
Across water from Edmonds. And that's the same way I feel about my hometown, too. And I always want to make it back. Like, end goal, I'm going to be living there again.
Cool.
You know? Because, like, in a place like this, too, it's like everybody knows each other. You're always, you're waving to somebody constantly if you're in your car or you're walking on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. There's loyalty. I've noticed in Anacortes or within local business because...
Right.
Local business, especially like these 10 blocks right here that we're on, it can only, there's no chains, you know, there's no, you know, you can't put a Taco Bell right here. And I've noticed that there's this, like, this really intense loyalty between local businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually really special. Yeah. I don't think many places have that. Yeah, it is. It totally is.
When for guys like you, too, like, for what you guys do, having a place like this definitely keeps you grounded, right?
Yeah, and the fact that we're all, like, you know, we're all married. And
Yeah.
We have family and friends. Yeah. And
All your wives are from here as well?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I've actually got... Well, our drummer's wife is from Cedar Oli, which is like 45 minutes that way. East. And then my wife's from BC.
Oh, okay. So not too far away.
I wanted to tell you, though... Sorry, this probably isn't a good thing for your podcast, but...
That's okay, unless you don't want it on here.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. For our anniversary trip, my wife and I went to Vancouver Island, and I love Canada. I really do. My wife's Canadian. She wants to have our kids in Canada, so they have
dual
Canadian citizenship and all that.
Yeah.
Anacortes is so much cooler than everywhere we went. Like, better restaurants, better bars, better people, better... I've realized that a lot of the places we went in Canada were... They're not as old as Anacortes.
Uh-huh.
And there's something to be said for a town that's been around a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I realized that...
Well, it's like this bar was built in 1936.
Yeah, it's like
right after the Prohibition ended.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, needless to say, as much as I love Canada, dude... Anacortes is really special.
Yeah.
It really is. And not many towns this small have the community of artists or local business that we do. I mean, we're pretty lucky. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's that, those sentiments are shared with most people who grow up in a small town, too. Mm-hmm. Because it's so tight-knit.
Yeah.
You get that sense of community. Whereas living in a city, you may not totally understand that.
I'm sorry.
Another song?
You're talking to guitarists who really hate guitar solos.
Yeah,
I'm just seriously wondering what is happening.
I don't know, but that was the weirdest thing I've heard in a while.
It sounded like the F-Zero soundtrack. Do you remember that game?
Oh, I love that game.
It's like
F-Zero slowed
down. I actually
downloaded it on my phone.
Which one? The Super Nintendo or 64?
Super Nintendo. Yeah.
You know, the 64 version is the hardest racing game of all time.
You know what? I don't think I've played that one.
It's like...
I had G1 for Nintendo 64. Or like G-Force 1 or something like that.
Yeah, the F-Zero version for 64 is super fast. Well, it's almost too fast.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's frustrating. Yeah.
Well, what's coming up down the pipes? You guys are going on tour.
Yeah, Bumbershoot tour.
Bumbershoot's coming up. You guys are going to be playing that.
Yep.
Main
First
stage?
Playing Key Arena.
Yeah.
Key Arena.
Which is insane. Nice. We're playing where the Sonics played, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Then we
That's
leave.
That's going to be fun.
And we're playing the Two Door Cinema Club for a while. We have some headlining dates that connect us to the Minus the Bear tour.
Excellent.
Then we come home and we're going to play a lot of the local colleges. Kind of maintain a relationship with the college kids.
Okay.
And then I'm imagining that next year is going to be a good year for us as far as touring is concerned.
And you're working on the next record as well right now.
Demo slowly, kind of.
Preparing to probably start recording next year.
Excellent.
It's actually more, I think we're in the spot where we've got a lot of material. As a band, we need to kind of get together and decide what's worthy of making the cut, you know?
Right.
But even more than that, I think it's a matter of us figuring out, like, this sounds kind of weird, but, like, the philosophy that we adopt when going into the studio is really important. Like, what do we want this record to sound like? How should it be different from the last one? You know, do we get weirder? Or do we stay the same? Or whatever, you know? There's a lot
Break out the theremin.
I don't think there's any theremins, but...
So,
you know, I don't think we're ever going to, maybe in 12 years there will be a point where, like, man, we don't have any more songs, but at this point I think we're okay when it comes to material.
I personally look forward to hearing what's coming next from you guys, and hopefully see you again soon. We'd love to have you back on the show.
Of course.
Maybe down to Dining Room Studios next time.
Cool. Is that your home base?
That's as my home base, yeah.
Maybe in like a year, and we can talk about what's happened in that year.
Like relive it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys will probably all have babies by then.
I hope not. Give us like 7 years.
7 years? Okay, okay. We'll revisit that.
My wife's
25,
and in 7 years she'll be 32. I doubt she's going to wait that long.
Yeah, well, see, I'm 31, and I just had my first kid.
Oh, that's
so there you go. There you go.
I got, like, what, 7 years till I'm 31?
Yeah, you guys got a little while. You got a little while.
I got 3 years till
you got 3 years.
Holy shit.
You are so old.
Dude, we're going to do something crazy for your 30th birthday.
Yeah, we're going to kill someone, right?
Probably.
I'd say, you got to experience that.
Somebody really important.
I always said before 30, kill someone. You shouldn't put that on.
Yeah,
I told my brother's mother-in-law last night that I was going to train my baby to be an assassin.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, so I think that's coming.
It's kind of like Dexter.
Yeah, either Dexter or, like, Assassin's Creed, you know, Ezio.
Right.
Something like that, you know.
I think I'd rather do something really lame for my 30th. Like, let's just go to, like, the Wild Waves.
Dude, Wild Waves is awesome.
Just go and try to pee in every pool that you go into. Live on the edge.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Bring a thermos full of, like, Coors Light.
Let's do the Skate of Shame. There's this thing in Anacortes called the Skate of Shame. We can end on this note. We start at the top of Commercial, the main road.
Uh-huh.
You skate or bike for some people, and you hit every bar. Like any
on
place that
down.
Serves hard alcohol on the way down.
Right, right.
By the time you get to the bottom of Commercial, you literally there's like people with black eyes and bloody noses because they are so housed and they're all riding skateboards.
Falling down.
Dude, it's rough.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
well, thank you guys.
Everything with every bar in the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you guys so much, John and Tony of the Lonely Forest.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you guys meeting me and buying me a couple drinks because it was my plan that I was actually going to buy you guys drinks.
Next time.
But that didn't work out. So next time.
Cool.
Next time. Thank you guys.
Cheers.
Well, there you have it, folks. There is the interview with John and Tony from the Lonely Forest. Great band. I urge you to check them out at thelonelyforest.com. And they're going to be playing Bumbershoot on the 4th coming up here. I believe that is, what is that, Monday? Is that Monday? We're going to go with that. It's Monday, right? Maybe I should just check to clarify. No, that's Sunday. It's Sunday, guys. Okay. Well, you can find us on the Noisebeam Network. There's a bunch of great shows on there. Stitcher.com and on iTunes. Please rate us. And you can like us on Facebook and find us on Twitter at AirRaidNet. So stay tuned for episode 63 with Justin and Jess from the Bumbershoot Music Festival. And we'll see you next week.